Support for Kansas City Today comes from Grandma's Office Catering, delivering made-from-scratch hot meals and individual boxed lunches for fast distribution to offices, warehouses, and factories, even on nights and weekends. Details are at grandmascatering.com.
This is Kansas City Today. I'm Nomi Nujiadine. Today is Tuesday, April 30th. Coming up, a new play about neurodivergent teens is giving young actors with autism a safe space to perform in Kansas City.
As actors, the first thing you do is connect with yourself. And then the second thing you do is learn how to connect with others. And that's huge.
We'll meet the playwright and a young actor bringing the world's premiere of Rubik to life. But first, some headlines. The family of 17-year-old Ralph Jarl has filed a civil lawsuit against the elderly white man who shot the teen last year. KCUR's Peggy Lowe reports the lawsuit also names the Northland Man's Homeowners Association.
The lawsuit filed in Clay County Court names Andrew Dan Lester, the 84-year-old man who shot Jarl, after the teen mistakenly rang a doorbell at the wrong address. The suit also names Highland Acres Homes Association, the HOA that covers the neighborhood where Lester lives. Jarl's mother, Cleo Nagby, said that by including the HOA, the lawsuit underscores the importance of collective responsibility in safeguarding our communities. Lester is scheduled to stand trial in October on charges of first-degree assault and armed criminal action.
Dozens of students at UMKC demonstrated yesterday in solidarity with pro-Palestine protesters at campuses across the country. Medical student Mahmoud Koopma is vice president of UMKC's chapter of Students for Justice in Palestine. He says the group wants the university to make a distinction between anti-Zionist protests and anti-Semitism. Protesters also want UMKC to stop investing its endowment in Israeli groups that contribute to the mistreatment of Palestinians.
We have Palestinians on campus. We also have Jewish students here today that are all coming for the standing together for the same thing, by standing up for the right of Palestinians, for their right of determination, right of return, and standing up against any hate against these Palestinians.
Former presidential candidate Jill Stein also spoke at the demonstration against the death and destruction in Gaza. Kansas legislators have voted to override some of Governor Laura Kelly's vetoes of abortion bills. Beck Shackelford-Wanganga of the Kansas News Service has more.
House legislators voted to override Kelly's veto on a bill that would require medical facilities and providers to report the reasons for abortions they perform to the Kansas Department of Health and Environment. Also, House legislators voted to override the governor's veto on a bill that would make coercing a person into getting an abortion a felony crime. To become law, these bills will need to go through another round of override votes in the Senate.
Meanwhile, Republicans in the Kansas Senate failed yesterday to override Kelly's veto of major tax cuts. Kelly and lawmakers from both parties agree on measures like eliminating taxes on Social Security benefits, but they've been unable to reach a deal on income taxes. The governor says she'll call a special session if they're unable to pass tax cuts. Some Republicans, like Senator Karen Tyson, say the override was their last chance before they end the session.
We are finished. This is the last train out of the station.
But others who voted against the override say there's still time to craft a new tax plan. Lawmakers typically end the session after about 90 days, which will be this Thursday. Starting next month, Kansas City residents will receive new, bigger trash bins from the city. KCUR's Salisa Kalakal has more.
The trash carts come a year after the city rolled out new recycling carts to small apartments and single-family homes. Residents were previously limited to 2 40-pound bags of trash a week. But the Kansas City Beacon reports that the new bins can hold twice as much and will have lids and wheels. Kansas City has seen an increase in waste in recent years, which officials say is due to a growing population. Residents will start receiving the new carts in May, depending on their trash collection day and location. All carts should be delivered by October.
The Kansas Supreme Court has officially disbarred a federal prosecutor. KCUR's Peggy Lowe reports.
The action taken by the High Court to disbar Tara Moorhead on Friday was expected. She agreed earlier this month to turn over her law license as part of a deal with a Kansas disciplinary board. Moorhead was a Wyandotte County prosecutor during the 1990s who became known for allegedly helping former KCK police detective Roger Golubsky frame an innocent man who spent 23 years in prison. While in the U.S. Attorney's Office in Kansas, Moorhead was accused of threatening witnesses and concealing evidence. Moorhead retired from the U.S. Attorney's Office last year.
We'll be back after this.
Kansas City Today podcast is supported by CityYear, an education equity nonprofit placing near-peer student success coaches in public schools and social-emotional skills of kids in the community. Learn more at cityyear.org/Kansas City.
A new play at Kansas City's Spinning Tree Theater is creating a safe space for young actors on the autism spectrum. KCUR's Julie Denishay reports.
When Vanessa Severo first set out to write a play for performers on the autism spectrum, she reached out to friends and family who are neurodivergent.
The thing that I found is they always said they feel othered, you know, and I thought, what if we flip it and their world is completely typical for them, because it is.
Severo's new play, Rubik, is the result. It's about a group of teens with developmental challenges, and it's part of a push by Spinning Tree Theater to create new opportunities for young artists with disabilities. They were one of many theater companies to bring more diverse voices to the stage after the pandemic. And Severo's play attempts to show the world from their point of view. She took cues from the actors' own lives.
I wanted them to come up with three specific movements that means they're edging towards too much stimulus. So they came up with their own three movements, each actor. So we as an audience get to see this is the buildup of too much stimulus. And then once Tomas comes to the middle and puts on his noise-canceling headphones, we all... So we immediately go right into the world of what that feels like.
Will we do the whole thing?
Yeah, we're going to start doing the whole thing from beginning to end, which is going to be super helpful.
During a rehearsal at the Johnson County Arts and Heritage Center, director Rusty Sneary says the goal is to foster a safe space where everyone can create.
This has been a conversation about theater for a long time and what we can do better to build an all-inclusive and safe environment where kids of all abilities can feel comfortable to discover and learn about who they are.
Sneary says it was essential to include young actors with autism to tell the story, and a majority of the cast members are on the spectrum. He says the theater is a space where they can experiment and take on new roles.
As actors, the first thing you do is connect with yourself. And then the second thing you do is learn how to connect with others. And that's huge. And that's what these kids are doing. They're learning and discovering how to do that through art.
Many of the challenges the characters face on stage would be familiar to any teenager.
This boy, his name is Tomas. He does have autism. He's also about to enter high school, which is probably the most dramatic issue of the play. His parents are having relationship problems and are separated at the time. So it's just a very dramatic transitional period for this kid.
The action in Rubik, named after the popular puzzle from the 70s, takes place at a summer camp for neurodivergent teens. The campers take turns performing in a talent show.
Okay, thank you. So many different talents. Who would like to go next?
I would like to.
16-year-old actor Raylan Green plays Cece, the camp counselor.
My character is the camp counselor, and I can relate to this character because it's who I am as a person in real life. I'm supportive no matter what gender, no matter what race, no matter what religion, no matter who you are, I support you in any way.
As the story unfolds, Cece teaches a camper strategies to help get through the day. Green says he gets it.
When I feel like school is getting a little too hard, I kind of, you know, talk to myself and say, Raylan, you got this, keep going, don't stop, My grandma told me to never, ever give up, and I've taken it with me throughout all 16 years of life.
His grandmother's advice will serve Green well on the stage. For KCUR 89.3, I'm Julie Deneche.
Rubik runs through May 5th at the Spinning Tree Theater. This is Kansas City Today. I'm Nomi Nujiadine. This podcast is produced by Anna Schmidt and KCUR Studios. It's edited by Madeline Fox and Gabe Rosenberg. To read and see photos from Julie's story about Rubik, visit kcur.org, where you can find more local news from Kansas City's NPR station. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow.
You listen to Kansas City Today every day because we're your local, reliable news source. You take us seriously. But now it's time to have some fun. Join us at our annual benefit, Radioactive, on June 14th. NPR's All Things Considered host Ari Shapiro is the featured guest at this party, and it's gonna be bumpin'. You gotta be there. Sponsorship packages and ticket information are available at kcur.org/radioactive.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.